And I felt as though God was saying to me, maybe this is something that God's got for a wider audience, that whether you are a remainer, and I'm not talking about that sort of remainer, whether you're a remainer, a returner, or a relocator, the word of the Lord is well done. Well done, actually, because it takes courage in all of those. It's not a pecking order, you know, that, you know, you're sort of a 10 out of 10 Christian if you're a remainer, and you're, I hope not anyway, because I've just relocated. All of those things need bottle, actually. It does need bottle. Leadership needs bottle, doesn't it? I really appreciated that insight. We need the spiritual disciplines, of which one is all about thinking around place. I love that. I'm going to go away and do some thinking about that. So it's great to welcome Mike back again, who's going to share with us. Let's welcome Mike to the platform. I'm going to pray for you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great. Just take a moment of quiet and stillness.
Hallelujah.
Just pray, Lord, for each of us, that you'll help us to listen well. That of all the many things that are going on in our head right at the minute, all the calls upon our time, and all those issues which concern us, and all those things which animate us and excite us. Lord, we don't pray that we forget all that, but we pray that you'll help us to see through that and to listen carefully to you now. We pray for Mike. Thank you, Lord, for him. Just thank you for his passion and for his heart to see a little bit more of your kingdom come in the city of Birmingham. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you'll be kind to us this morning and speak to us through him, a living word. Mm. Pray that you'll give us the humility and courage to put your word into action in our lives. For we ask it in and through the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Mark. It's great to be back together again this morning. And it's just been fantastic to have fellowship with people. Last night I sat on a table with some folks from Hucknall in the East Midlands, and this morning I sat with some people from my hometown, Purley, which was also great as well. But I just want to encourage you as we're together to get to connect and meet new people. It's as we do that, we share the journey that God is taking us all on, which is to see his kingdom come in our generation. I'm going to speak this morning on working further in our community. And I want to begin by reading a verse of scripture, one that I find myself constantly coming back to, Micah chapter 6, with a focus on verse 8, but perhaps I'll read from verse 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what the Lord requires of you, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. I don't think we need to look any further than these verses and other verses in both the Old Testament and the New Testament to understand that there is a clear biblical mandate for community engagement. that actually when we look at the narrative of the Old Testament, there was a tremendous sense of community and a tremendous sense that I am my brother's, I am my sister's keeper. I'm old enough to remember the old discussion that used to take place about the social gospel. That's what the liberals did. But when I read the New Testament, when I read James, when he says faith without deeds is useless, I realize that he put that argument to bed 2,000 years ago. And I'm not sure why we're still discussing it. And I love the fact that this verse that I've just read brings our personal walk with God, our personal spirituality, in tandem with our social responsibility for those who are around us. So just to put the argument to bed for one more time, word and deed, faith and action were always meant to go hand in hand. They were always meant to be integral. And there is no dichotomy between the two. And I want to encourage us to move away from pendulum conversations that suggest it's either one or the other. Amen. We know both are important. We know both need to be held in tension. We know that what we do brings credibility to the words that we speak. And we know that the words that we speak need to be backed up by effective action. So friends, let's get on and be the people God has called us to be. I'm particularly proud over the last decade or so because I believe that the church has began to get a reputation of being relevant. I can remember the time when there was this general media view that the church was irrelevant and good for nothing. No longer can that be said of the church. Because in the last 10 years, as we've seen a drawing back of the welfare state, and I'm not in agreement with that, by the way, I've also seen the church stepping up and stepping into the gap and particularly ministering to those who might have fallen between the cracks. I was really blessed on Sunday afternoon, just before I was heading off to church, to see Songs of Praise and hear about the Pentecostal Credit Union, who were teaching inner city kids money management skills. And to see these kids kind of moving from "I want that" to actually "it's a really good thing to start saving." For me, it is breathing life before death into the generation that is rising. I have the privilege of leading church engagement for the Cinnamon Network. And over the last 15 years, some 3,500 churches are running one of the projects that we are able to fund through our micro grant scheme. Whether it's Christians Against Poverty debt counselling groups, or ignition job clubs, whether it's street pastors who have been such a blessing on our streets and in the nighttime economy, or TLG, which I've been involved with from its inception in helping young people who are on the cusp of exclusion from school. It is great to be able to say the church is relevant. And I want to say this, is that I believe that the time is coming, and I believe that that time is already upon us, when there is a fresh openness to the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we are going to see a harvest, when we are going to see a hunger from God, we're seeing some of that already with the turning. And I'm really glad to see my good friend Yinka here today. It is exciting to see people turning towards Jesus. And I'm excited because people are doing that knowing that the church isn't going to leave them high and dry, but actually the church is there to serve also their most basic human needs as well. I love Isaiah 58, where it talks about fasting and praying and how we need to pray for our places and our communities. But then as you read on, as well as our fasting and our praying, our seeking God, there's an encouragement in verse 7 to give food to those who are hungry and shelter to those who are homeless. There's an encouragement to loose the chains of injustice. So it's not just about action, but actually it is also about challenging injustice where we see it. And verse 10 talks about us spending ourselves on the hungry and those who are oppressed. A call to social action, a call to social justice, a call to deep, loving social care. That is what God has called the church to. But I want to say this. I think as we are engaging in our community, we need to know what we should be doing and why we are doing it. Our action, our social action, our social justice, our community engagement needs to first and foremostly be founded on good theology. We've got to teach people there is a reason why we're doing it, and it's not just to feel good. And, you know, I'm a Pentecostal. I have grown up in the evangelical tradition. But one of the things I've realized is that the evangelical emphasis of personal faith isn't on its own strong enough to actually give a firm theological basis for why people should reach out to their community. And I've found other theological streams helpful in really cementing the reasons why we do social action and social justice. And I think it's really, really important that our theology keeps pace with our practice. Because guess what? When the going gets tough, when people become tired and weary in well-doing, when funding dries up, when there seems to be little fruit for our labours, we need to be very clear on a firm biblical basis why we are doing what we are doing. So firstly, it needs to be founded on good theology. But it also needs to be founded on good needs assessment. We need to understand what the needs are in our community. One of the things we encourage churches to do in Cinema Network is to do a simple survey. It's a simple 6 or 7 question survey that helps a church to get a sense of what some of the needs in their local community are. To look at the skills in your congregation, to look at the professional skills, but also the volunteer skills that can be harnessed and put to use as people engage with their community. To listen to what the Lord is saying. More than ever, we need to be sure that this is not dead works of self-righteousness, but these are things that God has called us to do, because only then will He bless it and make it fruitful. And really important that we actually look at the capacity of the church and we do what we are able to do and don't overstretch ourselves with all the other demands of leading a church, such as pastoral care and teaching the people and making sure that people are growing as disciples. Thirdly, it needs to be founded on informed practice. Sometimes people say to us, well, I want my project to become one of the 30 as well, and we are constantly looking at new projects, and if you've got a new project and you're interested in scaling that, we would love to kind of talk to you. But one of the reasons why we've got a limited number of projects is because actually we certainly know that these projects have been tried and tested and found to be good practice. We also know that these are organisations who absolutely love the church. They believe that the local church is the hope of the world, but that is God's plan A, and there is no plan B. And they have committed not to do it on their own, not to parachute into local communities and set up their project without talking to anyone, but to actually move and work in partnership with the local church. And really, Cinnamon Network, in lots of ways, what we're trying to do is to help some of those organisations to partner better with churches. The bigger ones, the established ones, like Christians Against Poverty and Street Pastors, helping some of the new emerging ones, and indeed incubating some of the new ideas that people have, so that actually those innovative ideas can bless the church more widely as well. So the second point I make is making sure we know what we're doing and why we're doing it. The third point I make is integrating social action into the life of the church. I quoted from Slow Church last night. I want to quote from them again. Too often, churches outsource deep care by giving people in need food, clothing, or money, and then sending them on their way. No, that's not enough. What this is all about is bringing people into a sense of community and into relationship, both with God's people and also with Jesus. If I was to look across the board at all the different projects that are replicating in partnership with local churches, the common denominator is relationships. It's all about building relationships. It's the thing people want more than ever. And I believe that if we're going to do social action, we have to put church at the heart of it. In fact, I'd go as far as to say this. Church first, need second. Church first, need second. Why? Because we can talk all we want about need. Unless it's located in the local church, there is a danger that actually we are just do-gooders or those who are glorified social workers. We've got to bridge into local church because it's there that people are going to find the community they need. It's there that they are going to meet Jesus and their lives will be changed. And for me, the big thing in 2017 that I want to grapple with is not just creating pathways to salvation, but pathways to discipleship, to really see people become rounded people who have been transformed by the work of the local church and the power of the Holy Spirit, but are walking forward as whole, rounded people who can make a contribution and a difference in their community. Let's make sure we're integrating our social action into the life of the church and it isn't some appendage on the side that we do because it makes us feel good. Number four, if we're going to go further into our communities, then we need to look after our people. Don't neglect our volunteers. So often I've seen volunteers kind of burning out, people with great intentions, people with great heart, but just taking on too much because no one has actually sat them down and talked about how they manage their projects. One of the things we did at Cinnamon is to go to about 70 different people who were leading projects and ask them the question simply this: what do you know now that you wish you knew when you started? And we got all kinds of answers back. And out of that, actually, what we decided to do is to develop a leadership training course called Cinnamon Leadership Training, which is actually led by a group of 12 trainers who were based around the UK and headed up by Reverend Chan Corman, who actually works alongside Kate in Next Leadership. And the areas that we realised people were feeding back on is, how do you lead yourself? How do you lead your team? How do you promote your project? How do you partner with others? How do you make sure you're funding your project sustainably? How do you evaluate what you're doing to make sure that it is having an impact on the community? Let's make sure that our volunteers are being well trained. Let's make sure that we are supervising them and meeting with them on a one-to-one basis once a month. In all the organisations that I work in, I meet with those who I'm managing once a month to catch up and have a proper one-to-one. Our volunteers need that as well. I've always said this: if we look after people, then people will look after the project. Moving quickly on, we've got to move beyond social action and we've got to engage in social justice as well. It's not just about loving mercy, but actually in the verse, acting justly comes before that. Sin comes in a number of forms. One, of course, is personal. We're all here because we've come to a personal place where we've recognized our own sin, where we've taken responsibility for that, and we've called on Jesus to ask us to forgive us and to become Lord and leader of our life and to transform us by our journey with the Holy Spirit as he works in us from the inside out. But one of the things I've realized is that sin also comes in systemic forms as well. I wonder, when Paul is speaking in Ephesians chapter 6 of principalities and powers, yes, I understand that those are principalities and powers in the heavenly realms, but my goodness, do they manifest themselves in some of the institutions of the day. When we look at how many institutions in this country have made people angry over the last few years, the banks, the loan sharks, the political establishment itself, we can look at those and we can say, well, there was systemic sin in some of those systems. We know the police force, the education system as well. 5,000 young people still being excluded from school in the UK permanently each year. Education, a basic human right. And yet, we can't deliver that for some of the most vulnerable young people in this nation. We have got to engage in the issues of justice as well. I saw this great quote in The Guardian the other day, and it simply says this: if we do social action, we are heroes. If we challenge the systemic structures that bring about the problem, we are accused of being raving communists. Well, whatever they want to accuse us of, we need to be ready to challenge some of the systemic sin that is causing problems in our nation. Someone said this: it's not just about pulling people out of the water, it is also about going upstream and finding out who is pushing people in. Don't just send the ambulance to the bottom of the cliff, go to the top of the cliff and erect a fence so that people do not fall off in the first place. And when we look back at the history of the church, actually what is interesting is that the church so often has been at the heart of social justice and civil rights and all these other things have all been based on Christians standing up and seeking to make a difference. I want you in on a local basis as you go back to get involved in policy formulation, as I did in Birmingham with the social inclusion process. So important that we are doing that stuff. We're sitting on those committees. We are in the rooms and round the tables talking and making a contribution so the voice of the church too is heard. And then community engagement must lead us all to a journey of discipleship. One of the things that I've really learned is that when people in our church do community engagement, what actually happens is that first of all, their lives get transformed. There is something about meeting everyday people, and there is particularly something about meeting those in need that transforms our lives. It softens our hearts. Much of the hardnesses and the grit that we hear from people post-referendum is because actually they've kind of locked themselves away in a social media echo chamber and they can't hear anything else other than the voice that's shouting back to them. And if only people would get out in their community and meet others who are struggling, actually, it might change their hearts and change their minds. But there's nothing like developing rounded people than encouraging people to engage in their community. And of course, our folks are doing that every day, aren't they? They are nurses, they are teachers, they are doctors, they are social workers. The church scattered is at work every day. How do we as church encourage our folks in what they are doing? One of the things that we really encouraged at Cinnamon is people to hold civic prayer events, where actually they can go to their council and go to the various organisations and administrations in the city and say, what is your greatest need? Can we stand with you? Can we pray for you? An encouragement to encourage people to engage with their community. But the last part of that verse and the last point I want to make to you this morning is that if we're going to do all of that, we have to do it as we are walking with Jesus. Yes, we've got to act justly. Yes, we've got to love mercy. But we've got to walk humbly with our God. And I want to suggest to you that we do that in three ways. Firstly, we walk humbly with other people as well. People that we are mentoring, people that we are discipling, people that we are supporting to grow in that journey. People who are our peers, who we can meet with from time to time and share good practice and be open and vulnerable with and share our deepest secrets and our struggles. Really, really important. I thank God for a good friend of mine, Baptist Association of London, Reverend David Shasanya. We will sit down and we will talk with each other from time to time. We'll have a meal together. We grew up together from teenage years, so we know each other well. I trust him and I can share my deepest issues with him and know that they will be in safe hands and that he will go away and pray for me. Then for those who are mentoring us, I love the moments when
I go and I meet with my own Archbishop Doye Gama, Archbishop Doye Gama in Manchester, and just sit in his office. And I'm able just to sit and listen and learn from a man who is further on in this journey than me. If we're going to walk humbly with God, it's firstly about walking with his people and those that he has put around us. But is it secondly walking with an open mind as well? I found that as time has gone on, I've become a little bit more open. It's a little less locked down than it used to be. I've studied theology. I've done all of that. I'm constantly reading it. And the more I read, the more I realize it's so important to keep an open posture. I think over the years, I've become a little more ecumenical. And thank God for that. I remember when I first came into the pastorate and they told me that I couldn't pray with these particular churches because they weren't Christians. And it was ecumenical, and that was a bad thing. I said, blow to that, and I went and did it anyway. I think I've become probably a little bit more liberal, and that doesn't mean I've sort of suddenly given up on whole chunks of the Bible. Absolutely not. I believe the Bible wholeheartedly as the inspired word of God. But a willingness to grapple with some of the issues of our day, like gender and sexuality. These are issues that I really want to grapple with because I'm seeing the young people that used to be in my youth group grappling with those issues. And I want to be able to have answers for them as well and engage in conversation. I'm certainly more integral, the word and deed coming together, mission being integral. I'm a little bit more liberational, I think. Heard a little bit from Reverend Roy Searle this morning about race and politics and how that is changing the discourse. I think it's really important that we recognize that this Bible is a Bible that frees people from oppression. And I've committed my life to that because that's what I read from the pages of Scripture. I'm a bit more emergent. I love the fresh. I help lead a fresh expression church in Birmingham in partnership with an Anglican church. But I love the historical churches as well. And I love that rich tradition and how those two come together. I'm a little bit more convergent. I love the ancient churches, but I love the new as well. I loved at Christmas that I was asked to speak at an Anglo-Catholic church and I was able to wear my robes, which I did enjoy wearing on New Year's Eve. It was absolutely fantastic. And I'm as at home with that as I am in a charismatic meeting where people are enjoying the presence of God, even though I must confess that in the vestry, I was choking on the scents and the smells. And then finally, I've become more global, attentive to other voices. I had the privilege of being in Uganda, in Zimbabwe, in Ghana this year, listening to leaders who are doing so much with so few resources, so much to learn. Walking with Jesus is also about walking with an open posture. And finally, it is also about developing an ongoing relationship with God. For me, it's the early morning prayer walk. It's reading the Bible through the lens of the poor. And as busy as I am, it's learning to stop, to pause, to hear from God, so that whatever I'm doing in the community, I am doing more intelligently as time goes on. Folks, let's engage with our community. But as we go further in our community, let's also make sure that we're going further in our relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's stand, shall we? Hallelujah. And just perhaps we can just have that open posture. Just open our hands before the Lord. I know this is a real struggle for us as leaders, that we can find ourselves so involved in doing that personal relationship with God bit just kind of gets missed. And we're trying to juggle the other responsibilities, family responsibilities that we have in life as well. That just means that sometimes God gets kind of shut out and we just feel exhausted from all we're doing. And in this moment, I actually don't feel like I want to sort of just challenge people to go and do more social engagement, although that's what I've spoken about. I want to challenge the bit that sometimes is missing, which is making sure we're walking with Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you know that to go to where God is taking you, you just need to be walking closer to him. If that is you, then if you want someone to pray with you, then do come forward. If you just want to stay where you are and just soak up the presence of God, then do that now. But if we're going to make a difference to others, then absolutely we need to be doing it in a deep, meaningful, ongoing, growing love relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm just going to invite the worship team just to come as they did so well, I think, yesterday. Just bring the presence of God through worship and adoration. Let's see what God will do.